My next guest makes us consider about the average package holiday in a very different way. Some people just can't help challenging themselves. By his own admission, beach holidays bore him, so perhaps that's why he's travelled to Chernobyl. And not every day run-of-the-mill sort of holiday resort, I grant you, but in his up-and-coming tour, Welcome to Wherever I Am, we can find out all about these stories and more from a comedian I caught up with a few weeks ago. I'm delighted to be speaking with Dom Jolly. Hello, how are we?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Fans will be delighted to hear that I'm actually speaking to you on a mobile today.
And you are on a little mobile.
A little mobile, oh good. Not the huge brick that we come to associate with you.
No, the battery's charging.
You're coming across loud and clear, so that's great, but I wouldn't be fazed if you didn't. We've had Brian Blessed on the show before, so you shout away.
I can't compete with Brian Blessed.
You know, it's a very iconic character sketch where you're bellowing down a massive phone. Do you find it irritating or hilarious when people come up to you in the streets and shout to start miming at their mobile phones?
Well, I mean, I'm flattered because obviously it's something that everyone kind of found funny. I would be lying if I didn't say that it got a little bit dull. I think it's more just that everyone who does it kind of, you can see on their face, they think they're the very first person ever to do it to me. So from their perspective, it obviously is funny. But for me, it's just like, oh, no, not again. But, you know, what can you do? At least they're shouting hello, not throwing stones at me.
Well, that's true, isn't it? It reminds me of the Father Ted sketch where there's Richard Wilson there and he says, go on, go up and talk to him and say, I don't believe it. He'll love it.
Yeah, I know.
Of course he doesn't,
I mean,
does he?
it's very odd, actually, because I suppose all you ever want, you know, when you're growing up, if you want to be in comedy, you probably really want something people remember you for. And then the moment you get it, you start to resent it. It's a very odd thing. It's a sort of Radiohead complex. You have a big album and then you think, no, I won't do that.
Yeah.
No, I've come to terms with it now. I'm quite happy.
It's true, isn't it? It's a mixed blessing of having such an iconic character repeated on comedy shows. But there really was a spate of hidden camera shows like Beatles about in the 80s. You spoofed that whole thing. Did you feel you were particularly anarchic at the time? And were you influenced by any particular comedians?
Dennis Pennis was my big influence. He came just before me and he used to go around sort of just pretending to be an interviewer and then asking celebrities sort of slightly odd questions. And I think he influenced me because until him and really when Trigger Happy happened, to make a show, you had to do it the grown-up way. You had to get a proper crew and it cost a lot of money and you did it properly. And then suddenly around that time, you could just buy a camera and use it, you know, and film it yourself. And it was sort of quite punky. You could just go and make it yourself. And that's why Trigger Happy worked, because we just literally had our own camera and we just went off and spent a year making it. Whereas if we'd had to pay for a proper film crew, we'd have probably afforded a week. So I think that's why it kind of, we just learned on our feet and it was sort of organic and it just was what made us laugh, really.
Yes, it's very much the technique now, isn't it? Get out there and get with your handheld and just make it happen.
But, well, this was before YouTube, but, you know, now I would just do stuff and put it up on YouTube and let people vote themselves, you know.
Well, exactly, yeah. Everything changes through the ages, doesn't it? But, of course, Trigger Happy TV sort of started. It kind of appeared as sketches in during the advert breaks on Paramount. Were you...
Well, not Trigger Happy, but the early stuff I did was, they were called interstitials, yeah.
Hmm. And, of course, how long did it take to actually get a commission after those?
I can't remember. We weren't really trying to get a commission. Sam and I were just playing around and being paid and having fun, and actually it was brilliant. It was like sort of training, really, because normally you just go straight onto telly, and we just spent about a year and a half filming stuff, and when it was funny, it went on, and when it wasn't, we just didn't do it again. And then Channel 4 started seeing this stuff, and I think it got quite sort of culty amongst bands. I was talking to Oasis once, and Noel and Liam used to sit and watch them, and I think basically slowly Channel 4 noticed and asked us to make a one-off, like a 15-minute comedy lab, which we did, and then unbelievably they then gave us just a whole series. It was incredible. I mean, we didn't really try, to be honest. They sort of came to us, which was really nice.
Always the best way, isn't it?
But I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, I'm not being sort of big-headed about it. We didn't know we just couldn't believe anyone. We were just having fun, really, so... You know, if we tried to do it, it wouldn't have happened, you know.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? As long as you're having good fun, then often you find the sort of collective
I think that's what really shows on screen, that, you know, we were doing it for the beauty sort of thing. We really were doing it because it made us laugh.
Yeah, it really comes through.
But I'm saying us, it's not the royal we, it's me and Sam who made You made the show.
Well, of course, yeah, but you've Trigger Happy TV, it's won the Silver Rose of Montreux, which is a great accolade. But it seems you can't move for awards in your house, but you're also an award-winning travel writer. And I guess you're ideally placed for telling people in your upcoming show about great holiday destinations and travel disasters, because it certainly sounds like holidaying in Chernobyl doesn't sound much of a laugh, or getting strapped to an 8-foot rocket. But it sounds like a reality TV show gone wrong. But did you have a dodgy taxi driver?
My whole life is a kind of reality TV show gone wrong. And my tour is essentially, I'm giving myself my own retrospective, because no one else is going to. So it's kind of just talking about what I've done since Trigger Happy, and I'm showing clips from Trigger Happy, things that went wrong, my favorite clips, then moving on to stuff I did at the BBC, and then showing photos when I was a paparazzi, stuff from the jungle, and then sort of photos and extracts from my book when I go around the world to weird places like North Korea. So it's a real, it's a mishmash, basically, and it's a kind of guide to how not to get on in show business.
That'd be very useful for a lot of people. They'll be taking notes there. But I guess getting strapped to that rocket or being arrested in Switzerland seems like a bit of a stroll in the park after being made to ingest animal genitalia and rare bugs in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So aside from the money...
I didn't eat anything in the jungle.
You didn't, you done well.
I got away with that. There was one thing I really wouldn't have done, but luckily I didn't have to, so it was fine.
Oh, yes. Luckily somebody else did that.
It's true. I have travelled all around the world to the weirdest places, from North Korea to Iran to Chernobyl, but nowhere is quite as weird as being in the jungle. But it was very interesting as well, so I really enjoyed it, actually.
Why did you feel it was your year to go on?
Just because I had loads on. I didn't need it. And again, I think that's when you should do things, not because you have to, but because actually... You know, I just got a two-book deal, and I'm doing a film, and I had the tour coming up. So I thought, actually, unless I kill someone on there, I can't really do myself much damage, and I won't hate myself for going on. And everyone I knew told me not to do it, and I'm quite contrary. So I thought, nope, I will. Mm-hmm. And I'm really pleased I did, actually. I lost 2 stone. I now know what it's like to live as a hostage. And I've realised that I should stay away from Gillian McKeith, so it taught me some valuable lessons.
Yes, you were talking about potential murder earlier on there, but hold yourself off there. But it takes a bit of discipline. But of course, not only you're a comedian, you're an author and a writer, as you said, and also budding filmmaker. And so you're developing a movie called War of the Flea in the US, and also completed a documentary on Tintin for Channel 4, back on Channel 4. So tell us about those projects.
Well, the Tintin one went out 2 years ago, and I... it was on Channel 4, and basically I'm a huge Tintin fan, so I just sort of turned myself into Tintin and tried to sort of follow some of his exploits. And then Sam and I, who made Trigger Happy together, he's been in LA, but we've got back together, and this is the first project we're doing since Trigger Happy, and we've written this huge film, which is a sort of Ben-Hur of hidden camera films, and we're hopefully going to be filming that in the States next year.
Sounds interesting project. I mean, did you find your years in journalism helped you in the research and techniques for interviewing those people involved?
I do no research whatsoever. I'm the laziest man out. That's why I got booted out of being a journalist, because I go by the seat of my pants.
Oh, that's also a very useful trait, though, I'd imagine, when you get yourself in certain situations.
It
like
is.
Some of the ones that you say you've been in. But I guess having got into what can only be described as dark and perilous travels, it seems rather fitting that you've released a book called The Dark Tourist.
Yeah.
So how long did that take you to write?
It took me a year, basically, where... I basically went from, I did 6 different countries. I went skiing in Iran, I went on a coach trip of North Korea, I went on a weekend to Chernobyl, I went back to Lebanon where I grew up to find out about being schooled with Osama bin Laden, I sort of did the killing fields in Cambodia, and I went on an assassination tour of America. So that was good fun.
Sounds a light kind of travel. Not everyone's cup of tea.
Well, I just get bored on beaches, you know.
Mm. Yes, well, you can get the polar opposite, really, isn't it, compared to that? But, so everyone's going to be regaled with all these stories when you're going to be on tour. And you're coming to the Epsom Playhouse on the 3rd of May.
That's right.
And then you're going to be touring. Sounds a very appropriate name, actually. Welcome to Wherever I Am.
Well, the idea of it was more to sort of say, because I travel all the time, and it was about that. But I've now realised it sounds like I don't know where I am every day, so... No, I will definitely know where I'm playing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it sounds great. You don't have to worry about the tours, where you're actually going to be. So that can it does cover that one, doesn't it? But no, it sounds a really excellent show. And great. I mean, what can audiences expect when they come to the show?
They can expect a lot of laughter from clips, some weird travel stories, some stories of how you shouldn't meet your heroes because it all goes wrong. And then they can end up by throwing stones at me.
sounds a good night out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for being on the show, and all best of luck with the tour.
Thanks.
And that was Dom Jolly, and he's going to be travelling with his tour on Welcome to Wherever I Am. Brooklyn's Radio.